God. Anybody got anything you want to say before we get started? I appreciate each and every one of you being here. It's good to see you. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Or if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for this time that we have this morning to study your word and to fellowship around it. And we thank you for preserving your word for us and sending someone to teach us the truth of the word of God. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with us this morning and lead us by your Spirit and build us up in the faith. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them. And Father, we pray for those that have unspoken requests on their hearts and their minds, that you be with them. And we ask you this morning, Lord, to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul said, study. Good morning. Is Al and them coming? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got a letter from a so-called, and I use the term very reluctantly, so-called great preacher, and he's doing everything he can about trying to show what Paul is saying here. Well, let's look at what Paul says, and he does not, this person in this letter does not do what Paul said. Now, look what Paul said. First thing he said to do was to study. Well, how do we study? How would you go about studying your Bible?
Prepare spiritual things with spirit.
Yes, right. Look, hold your place in. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, if I keep that in mind as I study, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God. In other words, we're going to have to stand someday in a judgment before God and give an account of what you did with your life while you were here on this earth. You got to remember one thing. Every one of us in this world were purchased by the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we belong to Him whether we like it or not. He purchased your eternal life at Calvary through His death. Now, so we're going to stand in a judgment someday. And if you wrongly divide the word of truth, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. If you at the judgment seat of Christ, you understand? Now, what does he say in here? A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what are we to divide? The word of truth. Well, let's look at something about the word of truth. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Well, is God's word true from the beginning? He said it was. Go to Psalm 68. And by the way, three times in Psalms 119, the word is mentioned. 39 times. times in Psalms 119, you'll find thy word. Y'all know what 3 times 13 is? 39. 13, the number of rebellion in the King James Bible. I just thought I'd pass that on to you. Psalms 86. Did I tell you 86?
68.
I apologize. 68. I'm in the wrong place. Psalm 68. The older I get, the dumber I get. Y'all just have to bear with me. Look in verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Well, did God give his word? Well, was it true from the beginning? Well, when Paul, go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Did Paul say rightly divide the word of truth? Well, am I supposed to go through the Bible and divide each little verse out of the Bible? Is that what Paul is saying?
No.
Well, that's what this so-called grace preacher tried to do. Tried to prove to people that that's what the way you rightly divide. Now, what is Paul saying? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Don't let me do that. Is that what Paul said? No. Look what he said. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Did Paul say he was sealed with these people? Now, think about it here now before you answer. Is Paul included in the ye? All right, let's look at the terminology, verse 12. That we, Paul included, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Paul is the first person to ever hear that when Christ died at Calvary, he died for all of his sins. In other words, when the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, he preached the gospel of Christ to him. Now, hold your place here and your thought here and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know what Paul's talking about when he says rightly divide the word of truth. Paul is not, listen to me, Paul is not telling me to divide the Old Testament from the New Testament. You know why? Come on, talk to me. You know why? The New Testament has not been made yet. So when Paul wrote 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he is not telling me to rightly divide the Old Testament from the New Testament. Most folks call this the New Testament. And if you talk to a denominational person, most of them, if you'll ask them, do y'all rightly divide in y'all's church, they'll say, yeah, we divide the Old Testament from the New Testament, and the New Testament for them is from Matthew all the way to the end of Revelation. That is not proper right division, if that's a terminology I use here. Paul's talking about rightly dividing the gospel. Now, let's see if that's what he says. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Well, Paul ain't included in the ye. Paul's already saved on the road to Damascus. So he's preaching to some people the gospel that he got saved by. How do I know this? Look at what he says there. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. When did Paul receive that? Acts chapter 9. You understand? This is not written in Acts chapter 9. Okay? This is written years later. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, how? According to the Scriptures. What Scriptures would he be talking about? The Old Testament. Go to Galatians and take Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Go to verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be, if ye be Christ, then are ye heirs according to the covenants of promise. Is that what he's saying? Man, y'all just sit here and let me just butcher this thing up. Come on, read what Paul said. You see, that's the first thing of studying, is to believe the verse means what it says. And don't add nothing into it like I just did, and don't take nothing away from it. Let's just read what it says, verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Those that Paul first wrote to, those who first trusted in Christ, are they Abraham's seed?
Yes.
Are they heirs according to the covenants of promise?
Yes.
Well, beloved, if I refuse to rightly divide the gospel, I'm going to get in trouble with this over here. You understand? This dispensation here is gone. In Acts chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and gave him a dispensation that is still going on today, and it's called the dispensation of the grace of God, and it won't end until the rapture takes place. The Lord appear for the rapture. We that are saved are those who first trusted. These here, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, it used to fascinate me. Is Paul sealed? How do you know he's sealed? He's not included in the... We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1. We're right there close at it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now wait a minute. Did Paul preach a gospel to these who first trusted in Christ? Did he preach to them that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures? Well, did Christ die for my sins according to the Scriptures?
No.
Did Christ die for my sins?
Yes.
Did he die for my sins according to the Scriptures?
Yes.
Go to Ephesians, hold chapter 1, go to chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me till you were. Now listen, this dispensation here was given to Gentiles such as us. And I'm going to show you who they are in just a minute. Look what he says, verse 5. This dispensation, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Well, if it's not made to sons of men in other ages, Paul didn't tell these about it here, did he? Did he? Come on, talk to me. You got a problem with this? All right, watch what he says here. As it is, what?
Now
revealed. When is it revealed? When Paul wrote the letter to them, in whom ye also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now watch what he says here. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Spirit does what? Searcheth all things. Okay? Now watch what he says here. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, not by the covenants of promise. I want you to take two passages. I want you to take Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to take 2 Timothy chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, Paul ain't included in that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12. That at that time past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now watch the next verse. But now in Christ Jesus. Paul is making known to these people here something that these did not know back here. That these Gentiles over here are now in the same body, spiritually baptized into the body with these who first trusted in Christ. You understand? Now, back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, whole 2 Timothy. Ephesians 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Hold what you got and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. Are these people in the body of Christ? Are we made fellow heirs in this body?
Yes.
We are. How? By the gospel. Not the gospel according to the Old Testament scriptures, but by the gospel. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all know where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Is Paul baptizing? Let me rephrase that. I don't want to get into that this morning because Acts 19 gets involved in this thing and people just tear that thing all up and say Paul baptized a bunch of people and he never did say it. He never said he did. Are these people baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ?
Yes.
Are there Gentiles in this body?
Yes.
Those who first trusted in Christ?
Yes.
Okay, look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Are those who first trusted in Christ, are they in the body?
Yep.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now hold the fort. Are there Gentiles already in this body?
Yes.
Back here?
Yes.
Well, what Gentiles is Paul talking about? Those of chapter 2, verse 12. You were not in the covenants of promise. You were not allied with Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Well, those who first trusted in Christ, they're in the body of Christ, aren't they? They're in there by the covenants of promise. I'm in there not by the covenants of promise, but by the mystery of the gospel. Now, watch what he says here. And, chapter 3, verse 6, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, what is his promise in Christ that I'm a partaker of, that these people here are a partaker of? Got any idea? Appreciate you asking. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Now, do we all have the same promise?
No.
Eternal life.
Yes.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Are these in Christ? Are these in Christ?
Yes.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll tell you what, do hold Ephesians 3 and go to Titus chapter 1. Go to Titus chapter 1. We need to look at this. Verse 2 here, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Did Paul receive these words from the Lord? Y'all know what he called these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Well, let's look at it. Hold this in. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Now, he said, rightly divide the word of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Is there a doctrine being preached according to godliness in Paul's epistles? What is that gospel? What is that doctrine? Go to Romans chapter 1. It starts all the way back in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, do we have to go to the Jew first nowadays? Well, did Paul, when he went to those who first trusted in Christ, did he go to the Jew first?
Yeah.
He certainly did. He went into the synagogue. Go to Acts 14. This is right after Acts 13 when the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them," and they started out on their ministry. Verse chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, Paul and Barnabas, into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Are there Gentiles in this synagogue?
Yeah.
Are they in the covenants of promise?
Yeah.
Well, did Paul tell me that I had no hope?
Yeah.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And take chapter 2. We'll read chapter 2, verse 12, and then chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, I want to ask you a question. Were those who first trusted in Christ, were they aliens from the commonwealth of Israel?
No,
they weren't. They were allied with Israel. Galatians 3. If you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Verse 26. He's very clear. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenants of promise. Not so with ye, such as us. Paul said, rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Now, go to where I got you holding. Chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Well, beloved, I'd be a nut. And I asked a preacher's son that he'd been off up to that college up in Michigan up there. Y'all know that famous Grace College up yonder. I asked him, I said, "What do you think Paul means there?" He said he's just reiterating what he said back here. Huh? Listen, when he says these Gentiles here in the covenants of promise, he says these Gentiles over here are not in the covenant of promise. He ain't reiterating the same thing he said back here. He's saying something different. He said, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." In other words, both groups of people in Christ, middle wall of partition taken out of the way. These two groups of people, you know what he did? Y'all know what he did with the two groups of people? And I love this. Go to chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go to verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is what? Our peace." Both groups. Our peace, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain," what? "One new man." Beloved, he took these two groups of people right here, and he made one new man out of that two groups of people. Now, well, that brings up some problems if you don't rightly divide Paul's epistles. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Not the mystery which is the gospel, but the mystery of the gospel. Hold your place in. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. They ain't gonna need that. Let's do it anyway. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, Paul preaches the cross to save people. You understand? You preach the gospel to lost people. Get them saved, then you preach the cross to them. What happened at the cross? The law of commandments contained in ordinances was nailed to the cross, Ephesians says. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, Paul's asked prayer now, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Go to Colossians. Now, you can't miss this. Chapter 1. Verse 24, reference to Paul of verse 23. Verse 24 now. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why would he say Christ in you? Because in time past they had no hope. But now the mystery of the gospel is being preached to them. They have a hope. Go to Colossians chapter 4 while you're here. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying. Also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 4. This mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest at all. Now listen, Paul wrote this after he's become a prisoner for us Gentiles. Has Paul been preaching the gospel to these people here all these years? Well, why would he ask for prayer that he may make this thing known? You do know he's a prisoner, don't you? For some Gentiles, ain't he? Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's see if we didn't miss this. Verse 1. For this cause. What is the cause? Because he's going to Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. He told them in Acts 22 that what he saw in Acts 18, that the Lord said, I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. And when he told them that, he became a prisoner. And he said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner, chapter 3, verse 1, look at it. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Well, beloved, he's been going to Gentiles. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are they doing? They're speaking lies. In other words, if a person does not rightly divide Paul's epistles, they are not speaking the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. You understand? And Paul told us, he said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. So this letter that this fellow sent me, I'm marking. You understand? He's not rightly dividing Paul's epistles. He's destroying what the verse says. And he's to be marked. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to, let's go to verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, what Gentiles is he talking about? All of them, these over here. Go to Acts chapter 28. Now, people, you can call me an Acts 28 or an Acts 9 or a 15 or a 19 or I don't care. All I'm doing is trying to show you when Paul said rightly divide the word of truth, he is not telling me to divide the Old Testament from the New Testament. You understand? That is not correct division of the Bible. Paul's gospel is different than anybody else in this Bible. These tribulation saints over here, and I've heard of Grace preaching, the man's dead now, for years, tell people, if you go into the tribulation over here, you need to get a hold of Paul's epistles. That won't do you one flipping bit of good. It'd be like you in here, reaching back here and getting Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, and it will not save your soul. It will damn you to hell. And I don't give a flip if they don't like it. I don't care. I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, the best of my ability and my knowledge. You understand? And it don't make a flip to me if who don't like it. I don't care. I have to calm myself down the other night. I'm hard-headed. I'm mean. I'm hateful. And I'm loud. I get in trouble a lot of times. I used to work in a place, and that man back then verified, I used to work in a place that if you talk to somebody, you put your mouth on his ear and then put your hand behind him to cup it so it could hear you. Some noise. And I can't hear. I'm deaf. Some of you ladies in here, I hear y'all's lips are moving, and I know you're talking to me, and I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I can't hear. I can hear you, but I don't hear with an audible understanding anymore. You understand? And Mr. Hill's brother, what's his name, Leon, he sat back there, and he tried to talk to me, and I know he thinks I'm crazy. He was trying to talk to me the other day, and I saw his lips are moving, and I had the foggiest idea what that man was saying. So y'all bear with me. I'm deaf. But I'm trying to do what the Lord told me to do. Study. I'm going to have to stand in judgment someday for what I teach you people and what I believe. And God forbid that I should teach you wrong. Now, I've been wrong. I will never forget years ago. On Tuesday night here in this class, I was sitting back there where Al is, and Jimmy Kitchell was sitting over yonder. Brother Moore was teaching the class, and Brother Moore said something. I had just taught on it Sunday, and I taught it wrong. And I knew it. When, boy, as soon as he hit the verse, I knew it. I'm fixing to get stepped on here. Well, Mr. Kitchell He didn't say a word, but he did like this here. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So I do make mistakes, but I try not to. I try to study to make sure that what I'm telling you is what the Bible says. See, I don't got no interpretation of a verse. I have no interpretation of 2 Timothy 2:15. I just got to do what it says. First, I got to study. What are you saying here, Paul? Well, I'm saying what I mean. If I tell you to go down there to the third red light and take a left and go to the second red light, take a right, I mean what I say. You understand? I don't want you to go down to the fifth red light and turn around and go backwards the other way. I want you to do what I tell you. Well, I'm doing what Paul said. Study. Because I got to stand in judgment someday for what I'm doing. And this is awesome. It's terrifying. I'm in more trouble than y'all are. It's like what Solomon said. A lot of learning will make you mad. And it will. You remember what Agrippa told Paul? Much learning doeth make thee mad. It's because a man didn't understand. You see, so I don't care who it is. If they don't like what I say, just believe what the Bible says. Now, just believe what he says right here in Acts 28. Now, Paul's a prisoner. He's been delivered to Rome. He's still doing miracles and signs and wonders. You know why? The Jew is still prevalent. Go to the Jew first? Well, if I still had the problem to go to the Jew first, I would still have the signs of an apostle. You understand? But they are gone. They're done away with. These lying folks on TV that say they're healing these people, they ain't healing nobody. Now, the devil's got a lot of power, and he may operate through some of them, and I sometimes wonder about Benny Hinn if he ought not to have a horn and a fork and tail. I mean, that's my picture of him. You may like him. Years ago, there was a friend of my brother-in-law, Danny, had a transmission shop, Wanda's husband. There was a fella that worked with us out at the mill out there. He'd come down there. He was fishing to go to Atlanta. Benny Hinn was going to be in Atlanta. And Danny was working on his transmission. Well, I'm down there visiting with my brother-in-law, and this fella come down. I asked him, I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going up to Atlanta to see Benny Hinn. I said, man, y'all stay away from that crook. Boy, he didn't like that none some at all. Well, me and him went at it verbally. When he got through and left, Danny said, that's one of my good customers. I said, I don't give a flip, Danny. He's wrong. I said, that man can't heal nobody. So, don't matter to me if you don't like what I say, just believe the book. You understand? You ain't got to agree with me. Just believe the book. That's all I ask you to do. Now watch what he says in Acts 28. Verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging. Y'all know who he's talking about? He's talking about Paul. Paul's a prisoner now. He's going to speak for himself here. Now watch what he says. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Is Paul still taking the Old Testament scriptures and proving to these people that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures?
Yes.
Hold your place and go to Romans chapter 16. Beloved, I can't do that for you. I can't show you that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. If I do that, I make you just as big a crook as I am. You understand? Paul said this is a mystery. The mystery of the gospel, that when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. And if we could get people to see that, we could cut down all of these denominational churches and everybody be in the church, the body of Christ. Probably. You know, I listen to some of these Church of Christ and all, and they say, well, we're in the body of Christ. No, you ain't. Not believing the gospel of Acts chapter 2, it won't put you in the body of Christ. It'll put you in the tribulation over here if it comes, and you'll have to endure to the end to get to the second coming to get salvation, as Peter told them people in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Now, watch what he says here. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Is there something been kept secret since the world began? Are you sure about that? Go back to Ephesians. Hold your places you got there and go back to Ephesians. Chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Well, is what Paul preaching here made known to the sons of men in other ages? Well, flip back to Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. He took the scriptures of the prophets and proved to these people when Christ died, he died for their sins according to the scriptures. But I can't do that with us over here because we're not in the covenants of promise. Now, go back to Acts 28, verse 24. Some believed the things which were spoken, some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people. Well, who is Isaiah written to? It's written to Israel, beloved. You know, I hear people take Isaiah 53 and try to prove it for you today. You're not healed by his stripes. In Isaiah 53. You can't claim that passage back there. Y'all don't look healed to me. When I look in the mirror, I don't see no healed person in there by no stripes of Jesus Christ. I still live in a vile body, and it ain't going to get changed until the rapture. Now, watch what he says here. Isaiah, what he prophesied, verse 26, saying, go unto this people, that's Israel, and say, hear and ye shall hear and shall not understand, see and ye shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Hold the fort. Has Paul been preaching to Gentiles?
Yes.
Jew first?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say here in verse 28, be it known thereof unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Jews and the Gentiles?
No.
The Jew first? No, it ain't going to the Jew first anymore, beloved. He didn't include the Jew in it. He excluded the Jew out of it. He said, Christ sent me far hence to these Gentiles over here. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, Gentiles, the Jews departed and had great reason among themselves. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. In other words, to these Gentiles here that are not in the covenant of promise, they now have a hope in Christ according to the mystery of the gospel. So if somebody tells you that your salvation is in the Old Testament scripture, just yawn real big and mark him, or her, or whoever it is. Mark them. That's what Paul told you to do. Now, verse 6. Ephesians 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. That's not the dispensation of grace. That's the grace to go to these Gentiles over here. And when Paul told them he was going to go to these Gentiles, he became a prisoner for these Gentiles. Paul did not know, listen to me, Paul did not know those Ephesians that he wrote to. He did not know those Colossians that he wrote to. You know how you know that?
Because he heard of that.
Let's check it out and see. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. Now he knew the Philippians. He knew them. He did not know the Ephesians that he wrote the letter to. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Did Paul know these people that he wrote to? No, he did not. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3. Colossians 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't preach the gospel to these people. Somebody preached the gospel to those Ephesians and these Colossians. They got saved. Paul wrote to them and show them now what you have in Christ. This is not a message for salvation. It's a message to save people, to show them what they have in Christ. Although they were not in the covenants of promise, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. My time's about up. Verse 8, Ephesians 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I shall preach among the Gentiles the searchable riches of Christ. No. You know, something, you know, it's the word is very simple. Unsearchable. Now, if you went out here and was trying to search out something that's unsearchable, wouldn't you be feel sort of funny? It's unsearchable. So if it's unsearchable, this gospel that Paul preached to these people about the mystery of Christ when he died at Calvary, also died for their sins, and he says it's unsearchable, I'd be a nut to start back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and say, well, you know, I got to claim that. I'm Abraham's seed. I know a lot of grace preachers that's preaching that today. I know a lot of grace preachers that's sending preachers out into the world teaching them to teach that into the world. that we're in the covenants of promise. We are not in the covenants of promise. We are not allied with Israel. We are strangers from the covenants of promise. And before Paul preached the mystery of the gospel, beloved, we had no hope. We did not have a hope. Why? Israel is Lo Amnah. And by the way, I'm getting kind of old. But before I was born, Israel was Lo Amnah. So how in the world can you say that I'm in the covenants of promise when Israel was Lo Amnah before I was ever born? It's ridiculous. It don't make no sense. But what did Paul say here? Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, not the Jew and the Gentile. Paul ain't going to he's not writing to the Jew first. That ministry is over with. That's done with. That dispensation is ceased. No more Lord's Supper. No more taking up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, Paul says, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. On the first day of the week, let every man take up, if he's prospered by the Lord, he's taking up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And in Acts 15, which he wrote down in Galatians 2, he made an agreement with Peter that he would remember the poor saints at Jerusalem. He said, we did so. We remember. He took up a collection for them. No more speaking in tongues. No more miracle working. No more signs of an apostle. All of that's done away with. It's over with. It's gone. What do we have now? We're in the last days of the dispensation of the grace of God. How do I know that? By the verse we read there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some will depart from the faith. They're giving heed. And I hate to call a grace brother a devil, but if he's writing false doctrines, he's getting them from the devil. He's speaking lies. Now, one last thing, and we'll close. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Not in the scriptures, hid in God, and it were not revealed until Acts chapter 18 to the apostle Paul. When Paul was in the temple in Jerusalem, the Lord appeared unto him and told him to get out of Jerusalem. They'll not receive your word concerning me. He said, depart, I'll send you far hence to the Gentiles. Beloved, anybody can be saved today that'll trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, believing that when he died at Calvary, he died for your sins. Have you ever trusted that for your salvation? If you have never trusted that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you don't want to die without a Savior. You don't want to leave this world without a Savior. My wife and Wanda are sisters. Y'all know Wanda and my wife are sisters. I got a call from their brother. He was in Fort Payne Saturday night. I got a call from him. His wife's oldest son, this is his son, his stepson, Mickey Gamage, that's their brother, Wanda and Mama's brother, got a call that her oldest child had got killed in Evergreen in a car wreck. Single car wreck, run off the road. I've talked to that boy, I've met him, I knew him personally. I have no idea if he's ever gotten saved or not. You don't want to leave this world without a Savior, and you don't know how you're going to leave or when you're going to leave. You have no idea. You don't want to leave here without a Savior. You don't want to go to hell. I guarantee you, you've studied this Bible, what's in the depths of hell waiting on you. You don't want to leave this world without a Savior. So if you're sitting here and you don't know in your heart when you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not, why not get it settled? You ain't got to stop nothing. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead for your justification, that when he died at Calvary, he paid for all of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you will, let's close with a word of prayer, and I'll ask the Lord to bless that food like it ain't already been blessed.